Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, Chief Joel Schultz needs no introduction. You can actually get a hold of him at schultzco@gmail.com. He's got a lot of material and books and stuff that we're going to be talking about as well. Also, Danny King. Officer Danny King is got American Patrolman at AmericanPatrolman.com. That little wave that you did, was that like the Queen's wave? Is that what the Queen's wave? I thought I recognized that. But so Danny, I think he's half British. But thank you so much for being on the show as well. He helps cops out in a world of hurt from all over the country. And we got some interesting topics that I know you guys are going to be tearing up today. A shout out to our sponsors. We have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. They got us on satellite radio. We love it. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting. Thanks to them, our streaming sponsor. We're reaching 1.5 million people right now. Two Bells have built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thank you for hearing our content. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. Now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, the news agenda, it's full. Listen to this. Trump administration agrees to pay nearly $5 million settlement in the case of Ashley Babbitt's January the 6th shooting death. That name should ring a bell for everybody. There is some controversy over the payment, over the settlement. We're going to be talking about that first. And then we have an arrested New Orleans jail worker says that he helped inmates escape after a stabbing threat. You know, we had all these guys, the practically dozen of prisoners escaped from that New Orleans jail. I think they've arrested or they've caught five of those guys so far, but we're going to be talking about that. And we've also got Sussex officers use pepper spray and baton and a taser on a 92-year-old amputee who was in a wheelchair. That didn't go over too well because they're in the middle of criminal proceedings right now. Then we got Vancouver police officers. They stop a suspect from stabbing his dog during an arrest. Can't wait to talk about that one. We have Governor Reynolds signs a law getting rid of citizen police review boards in Iowa. Now to be outdone, though, Minneapolis PD, they bring civilians in to lead the Internal Affairs Unit and the Constitutional Policing Bureau. So quite the contrast there. And, you know, there is plenty more. We've got a Johnson police officer shoots a suspect, hoots an officer with their vehicle when he's trying to flee. And then we got a Belmont officer, and we haven't covered this yet. I don't know if we're going to have time to get to it or not, but this officer is charged with rape. Well, actually, he was charged with rape in 2017. He had a domestic violence arrest, and he's in the U.S. on a work permit. But yeah, charged with rape while being a police officer in Belmont. And then we got, we need to give that guy your number, Danny. Deputy body cam footage shows a deadly shooting of a wanted registered sex offender in DeSoto County as well. So we'll get to these stories as we have time. But let's start off with the first one. It's a main story. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. It's at fox4now.com. Trump administration agrees to nearly $5 million in a settlement in the case of Ashley Babbitt's January 6th shooting death. Now, we all remember January 6th, the alleged riot, the invasion of the Capitol, and this happened when we had the transfer of power, about 4 years ago? So Trump was getting out of office, Biden was getting in. The Trump administration, now they're back in charge. They're going to pay close to $5 million to settle this wrongful death lawsuit brought by the estate, the surviving estate of Ashley Babbitt. She's the Air Force veteran who died after being shot by Capitol Police during the riot on January the 6th. And I use the word riot loosely because it's in the article. Multiple outlets cite insiders with knowledge of the settlement who provided information that hasn't been released in court filings. And it goes on to say that we got a quote from a U.S. Capitol Police chief, J. Thomas Manger, says that I'm extremely disappointed and disagree with the settlement. And he goes, in 2021, the DOJ investigation determined that there was no wrongdoing by police. He said that the settlement sends a chilling message to law enforcement nationwide, especially to those with a protective mission like ours. And just a reminder, it's a settlement. It's not a court decree, not a jury verdict. It's a settlement. And of course, in police work, we know all too well about agencies, you know, settling things instead of wanting to go to the court or drag things, you know, out. The details of the total come after news early in May that the government had agreed to settle the case and the lawsuit by Ashley Babbitt's estate. They originally were seeking $30 million. They alleged that the officer who shot her failed to de-escalate the situation. And it also alleged that the Capitol Police were negligent and should have expected that the officer who shot Babbitt was, quote, prone to behave in a dangerous or otherwise incompetent manner, unquote. The officer shot Babbitt when she attempted to pass through a barricaded door inside the Capitol. There was a glass window, from my recollection, that was busted as well. And she was trying to make entry. The Department of Justice, and from my recollection, now that's what I remember seeing. The Department of Justice and the Capitol Police cleared both the they both cleared the officer of wrongdoing following the incident. Now, what I will throw out there, guys, is that, and Danny, I know your mic's open already. They've had this thing on, I don't know if it's on Netflix or whatever, but coverage of this, and it's specifically targeting this Ashley Babbitt thing. And I've gotten in debates before on the show with people that thought the I've always felt that the shooting was justified and that I likely would have done the same thing. But we've had other law enforcement, you know, guys on the show that told me I was totally wrong and they felt differently. Now, supposedly my wife is telling me there's been some new stuff released in the special they've had on Netflix or whatever it is. I have not seen it yet. And she's on my case, riding me hard. So I probably need to watch it to see what I don't know, because I don't want to be one of those guys that I don't know what I don't know. But Danny King, you're up, buddy.
Well, just like you talked about, all the facts and circumstances matter, and I've had enough experience to learn that when I speak on things that I don't have the facts and I just look at the circumstances on video, I can be way off. So just saying that to say that looking at it from the perspective of a Joe Blow watching the video, I don't see what would cause this officer to use deadly force. As I remember it, there's other officers that are standing next to him that are just completely indifferent to what's going on. In other parts, there's people who are kind of panicking, officers that are panicking or under some type of threat. But long story short, I will fully concede that I have absolutely no idea one way or the other. And it takes hours and hours and hours of study of all the case facts to determine whether something was reasonable or not reasonable. But in terms of the settlement, just like you talked about, you can't rely on the plaintiff's filings because there's a lot of hyperbole as to the lieutenant's incompetence and all this other stuff. And just like you mentioned, it's a business decision when they decide to settle oftentimes, right? How much is this going to cost us? How much is it going to cost us with PR people and in public opinion? And how much is it going to cost us to get to a courtroom? Do we stand to lose? It's unfortunately, it's business as normal. It's too bad that this happened, but there's just a lot of complexity that I don't understand. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, with the Trump administration running it like a business, I mean, the government, I don't really expect them to do it any differently than what anybody right. else is doing. And Trump is all about the bottom line, as we know. If people don't get that by now, they should. I agree. If I was with the agency, I would probably be a little, you know, torqued too about the sure. payout. But I get it. You just mentioned about going the trial, the cost, the expense to the American taxpayers, and then with all the misinformation about January 6th and all the hoopla, kind of like the thing with George Floyd in Minneapolis. You know, I don't know if they're going to get a fair shake in a trial anyhow. So it may have been the right. smartest move. I don't know. What do you think, Dr. Joel Schultz?
You know, I would like to have seen some camera angle from the officer's perspective. I've had some riot training, been around some riots. De-escalating a riot, maybe the old Walker, Texas Ranger, you know, one riot, one ranger could work with some people, but that's a high expectation. But the facts really don't matter here. I think the president wanted this out of the headlines because he's got other things he wants to have attention focused on in his administration. So I think it was not a merit-based or even a business-based decision. I think he just did not want the headlines, which would have proliferated with a trial.
And thank you, Chief. You know, I hate to say it. You know, we're in our 10th season. We've been doing this over 9 years. I have to say the payout is low. It's pretty low, guys. It's five mil. I mean, if this would have been San Francisco or Seattle, we would have been $30 million. So it's nothing to get excited about. But look, life is a precious commodity, and we all, I know we all share the value of life and how precious it is. Even for bad guys, you know, we don't take that lightly. So there was a loss of life in this. And so, outside looking in, I kind of get it. You know, I don't really have a huge issue with this.
Yeah. You know, the USAID was probably given that amount of money to, you know, transgender puppets in Peru, quite honestly. And not to make light of Ashley Babbitt's loss of life, right? But there definitely is an amount of money that I know cases where it was just an ugly use of force that was completely reasonable in California that resulted in a $5 settlement. And everyone was fine, right? It's just a public opinion. The suspect wasn't injured. The officer wasn't injured. And that resulted in a $5 million termination or lawsuit. So, yeah, it is low.
Good point, gentlemen. Final words, Chief?
We'll never know what happened on January 6th. There's no way that there's an objective 30,000 feet view of that situation. It's just, I think it's going to be lost to history.
You know, I cannot argue with that, Chief. I think you're spot on. Guys, we're coming up. We're about 45 seconds away from our first commercial break. So I'm going to go in and whet the appetite, you know, for our next story, and we'll go from there. So our next one is going to be arrested New Orleans jail worker says that he actually helped inmates escape after stabbing threat. Yeah, this guy's been arrested. So we all want to see what happened here. You're getting ready to find out. This is late breaking news. So guys, stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different places. We have options, guys, and especially when you're talking about online, you have even more. But I want to remind you guys about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. There's a big difference, and I don't know of a company that fits this bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Their motto is even proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Now, they not only talk the talk, but they walk the talk. They support dozens of organizations, focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, I encourage you guys to support our title sponsor and go to thegauls.com to make that happen. And look what they're doing for you. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code that you can use to get 15% off your next purchase until June the 31st at gauls.com. The code is radio15. So that's radio15. Type that in. You get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. And guys, they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones. Gauls.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. We've got Chief Joel Schultz on the show and Officer Danny King. And we are getting ready to talk about our next topic. And is at Fox13Memphis.com. Arrested New Orleans jail worker says that he helped the inmates escape after a stabbing threat. So this guy is admitting to what he did. So this New Orleans jail, he's a maintenance worker. He's been arrested. He's being held on a $1.1 million bond after admitting that he turned off water to a toilet covering a hole in a cell wall, which allowed 10 men to squeeze through the gap in one of the largest jailbreaks in recent U.S. history. So the inmates did this escape early on Friday, and they yanked open a faulty cell door. They moved the toilet. They slithered through the wall or this hole in the wall. Then they put graffiti to add insult to injury. They put graffiti on the wall. So when they go and they find the guys are gone from the cell, if you look at the hole that they slipped through, the graffiti says "too easy, LOL," laughing out loud, and with an arrow pointing down to a hole in the wall. I mean, come on, you gotta have a sense of humor when you read this. You know, it's so. On Tuesday evening, the state police confirmed that Corey Boyd, 19 years old, became the fifth person or the fifth escapee to be apprehended in this New Orleans jailbreak. Gentlemen, we got almost 6 minutes. What do you guys think about the jailbreak and the update? Any surprises, Danny?
No surprises here. You know, this is actually something common in correctional facilities. Well, I wouldn't say it's common, but it happens in correctional facilities where you get people sneaking dope in, sneaking cell phones in. When I say people, I mean correctional officers and jailers, sneaking these things in for inmates. And so, and this, it's one of those things that highlights all the errors that took place. You know, there was not the concertina wire that they needed across the top of the fence. The toilet that was removed provided direct access to the outside, right? So there was a door nearby that you could just get out. And then a CO went to go get food. Who knows if it was intentional or not intentional, but when the CO went to go get food, who was the only person watching this whole thing, these guys yanked the door open, went into that cell, removed the thing and left. So, you know, and not to mention the maintenance worker turned off the water. So it's a mess. And heads will roll, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Or fortunately, I guess.
Or fortunately.
Yeah.
Chief.
I tell you that inside jails and prisons is a universe that most of us can't even comprehend. The manipulation that inmates can perpetrate on employees, the threats, the connections, and so many aging infrastructures where, you know, if you've got a rusty screw or, the corrections guys can tell you the stories about, you know, clubs being made out of paper mache toilet paper and using to assault and dental floss used to, you know, hit the bars to saw the bars off, you know, over time. They got nothing to do but think about how to get out. They obviously didn't think much about what to do when they got out, because, you know, half of them were pretty quickly and easily rounded up. But I think one of the real concerns that the local government had was, why didn't you tell us earlier? I think there was like a 2 or 3 hour gap between when the escape should have, or the missing count should have let everybody know what was going on, and the time that local law enforcement was advised so they could keep a lookout for these guys. So yeah, a lot of problems. And I will say, you know, they were under this federal supervision. And I heard a commentator today say, well, they had that federal supervision. They were probably had lots of money available from the feds. And I'm like, no, the feds suck money out of those people.
It's the other way around. You're right. Yeah. And good luck getting that consent decree lifted anytime soon after this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
are they under a federal consent decree, Orleans Parish?
I thought that they were too. I thought that I had read something recently where they were looking at maybe lifting portions of it, but that never happened. But do you have any more information than that, Chief? Or
no, just what I heard on some commentators on the news today.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what major city isn't under the, you know, Obama Biden era thumb anyway?
Well, Phoenix is, and I can tell you that the city of Phoenix is actually a fascinating story. They had some people, and you know, I got to be very careful what I say. They had some people, a person who started a pushback, and it resulted in essentially the city of Phoenix going, "Nah, we don't think so." Which was one of the first times it's happened before. There was Alamance County in North Carolina that went, "No, we're not cooperating. If you have what you need, sue us." And ultimately they ended up kind of working it out, but consent decrees don't hold up under scrutiny, or the federal investigations of consent decrees don't hold up under scrutiny. So, and you know, if you talk with people from Baltimore, you talk with people from all these different jurisdictions who were investigated by the feds, you find out that the image that the feds portrayed back to them is an agency that they didn't recognize. Yeah. Right. So you talk with guys from Baltimore, they're like, yeah, when the feds came back with this investigation, we didn't believe any of it. It was not true. It's not the agency that I recognize, but it was political. And so, you know, in the Obama and Biden era, it wasn't a pattern or practice that led to consent decrees. It was a singular, ugly event. But we're not here for that.
We just had Travis Yates on the show. I think it was on Monday. Talking about that at TravisYates.org for people that want more information about that, and how Phoenix is actually taking one for the team, and we're hoping other agencies follow suit. But they actually drew the line in the sand and said no. Well, guys, we're coming up on our next commercial break. Let me go ahead and whet the appetite for the story for the next one. There's a video component to the next one, but Sussex officers use pepper spray, baton, and taser on a 92-year-old amputee who's in a wheelchair. Even the optics of the verbal optics don't sound good. We're going to cover that in 1 second. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3. Remember that name. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times, and that is with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that can predominantly only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianceTechnologies.com virtually eliminates weapons confusion. Now, that is a amazing. Stay ahead of the game, guys, with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take up with me when it comes to safety. This is one of the most hands-on, common-sense solutions that's ever come along. And you can go to Compliant Technologies right now and tell them when you do that Chip sent you at ComplianceTechnologies.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to, plus they get the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up actually today, breaking news, Supreme Court issues major use of force decision in Barnes versus Felix on May the 21st. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today. Join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable, LeoRoundtable.com. We've got Chief Joel Schultz, Officer Danny King from AmericanPatrolman.com on the show. So thank you guys so much. And, you know, we're going to be talking about a story with a video component. Before we do that, though, Chief Schultz, I know that you've got some books under your belt and you've done just some fantastic writing for Police One. We've been covering your stuff for 9 years on this show. Can you tell our audience, and your mic's still muted, but can you tell our audience how they can get, you know, more information about your books? I see your email is schultzco@gmail.com.
Yeah, let me just offer this. If you're an officer who has about 3 years or fewer on the force, you're still a rookie, or if you're a police academy trainer, I'm going to give away 10 of these Badge in the Brain books, Street Smarts Force. It's a brain science meets the street for effective tactical superiority. I just think it's some great information. I hate to brag about myself, but I think it's really good and thin, good toilet side reading. So email me at schultzco@gmail.com. And if you're in one of those categories, police academy trainer or rookie, you'll get a free book.
I love it. Thank you so much for doing that for our supporters of the show, listeners and viewers. And so guys, look, if you're driving your car or somewhere where you can't write that down, all you have to do when you go to our show, either go to leoroundtable.com and you can go to the alley, but really Rumble's the best way to go. This show is streamed through Rumble and there's a recording of the live show on Rumble. And when you look at the video portion of the show, Chief Joel Schultz, under his photograph, under the video of him, it actually says Dr. Joel Schultz with his email address on it. So if all else fails, go to Rumble, look up our channel, Leo Roundtable, and you can get that accomplished as well. And I also have bios for everybody at leoroundtable.com. And Officer Danny King, he's helping cops out in a world of hurt as well, AmericanPatrolman.com. He's actually logged on to StreamYard right now, conversing with the guys. Danny, can you tell them real quickly what you do and how they get more information?
Yeah, so I teach law enforcement officers how to prepare themselves or defend themselves from accusations, false accusations of excessive force. A lot of what we see and what we just believe from a real quick examination of that is unreasonable, or we think it's unreasonable, actually isn't. So there's a lot of things that people don't understand about force and the complexities of force. Those things, if you understand, are actually reasonable. So we teach officers to predict those things, kind of prevent them, and then how to manage them when they happen. And again, it's force that is actually reasonable, but appears unreasonable. There is unreasonable force, and that's just unreasonable all the way through.
So let me ask you something, Danny. Do you represent people that work at jails and stuff, like maybe like maintenance workers that maybe work in New Orleans or anything?
No, but I'll tell you what I do do is I conduct critical incident reviews, independent critical incident reviews, and a lot of times you have to separate accusations and fact from the fiction of the whole thing. There's a lot of things in these incidents which people blame as the is the problem when in fact it's not the main problem. It's not the root cause of this whole thing. So, like I was talking about earlier, man, if you're a bad cop or you're doing the wrong thing, lose my number. I'm not here for that.
I'm glad you threw out the other thing because you're right. So many things of what we see, look, I was joking earlier about a human component, but that human component means that, you know, there are just sometimes things go wrong, like training. I guess where I'm going with this is that so many things I see are the result of bad training. It's not necessarily the officer's fault. Sometimes it's not even command staff's fault, you know, but training is certainly not equal around the country. And officers, because of the human component, we're not all equal either, right? I mean, some are more capable than others, especially when you get in the different categories and different roles in the job. I excelled in doing organized crime, public corruption, adult entertainment. I was a good cop otherwise, doing other things and stuff. But boy, that when I hit that, I just excelled far above what anyone else was able to do at the time. But it's just the human component of that, right?
Right. It's exactly what you talked about. I excelled at use of force investigations, things like that. I was what I thought was a good street cop because I put the effort in. I spent a year as a detective, and I hated it, right? I love the street nature of it and the plainclothes nature of it, but I hated working cases over time. So like you talked about with that public corruption, that's not my deal, man. I do not want anything to do with it. But most of the time, what we think of as training, like some of these instances we're going to watch, officers aren't trained for that. They're trained to apply a basic set of rules of thumb to the situation, but they're not trained for those specific circumstances. And the reason that's important is because they're making decisions in novel circumstances. Because they've had a class in de-escalation, because they've had a class in traffic stops, we just automatically assume that they are trained in de-escalation and traffic stops or whatever the case is. When you train a person, you are specifically training them for that event in training. And now, once you change any of those variables, well, it starts to change the effectiveness of that training. So, you know, when we talk about the case in England, there's a lot to talk about, but the chances are these guys were never actually trained for that particular scenario. And whether they showed good decision or poor decision making, again, it's a novel circumstance for those guys. So training isn't what we think it is.
Agreed.
I got to say, I appreciate guys like Danny because, you know, so many officers just are so overwhelmed when they're facing some accusations. I'll trust the department. I'll trust IA. I'll trust the objectivity of the investigation. That's just thin ice. And, to have a truly objective investigation that's science-based and policy-based, really far too rare in situations.
Right, right. Exactly. Those guys, those IA guys and those investigators are going to do the best that they can do with what they know, just as I did and probably just as the chief did and you, Chip. But then you understand or you come to know that there are levels to this. And, you know, when it came down to force, I was woefully oblivious to the depth of what someone can know about use of force. So we have officers out there, investigators out there conducting these really surface level reviews with little understanding of just how much there is to know. And when you don't know that, you can, you know, put the blame on people where it doesn't need to be. And sometimes there is no blame. Sometimes it's just one of those things where it's just a lesson that we learned.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. All good. Hey, let's jump into this next one that we're waiting to jump into. There is a video component, so look for people that are listening audibly, maybe your favorite podcast or radio station. Please stay loyal to those outlets. We'll describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a video that you absolutely have to watch, and this might qualify, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day, because at 9 o'clock in the morning, producer Will release a special version of this live show after he embeds every video that we talk about into it, and he puts pictures of the good guys and the bad guys. And that happens Tuesday through Saturday on our Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable, and that happens at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So Sussex officers used pepper spray, baton, and taser on a 92-year-old amputee who was in a wheelchair.
Can I put it down for me?
No, just chuck it on the floor for us.
Put it on the floor.
Come on.
Put it on the floor.
We don't hurt you.
Don't be silly. Put it on the floor.
Police officer with a taser.
Put it down, mate. Come on, Donald, put it down. Don't be silly. We can solve this without having to resort to this. Yep, put the knife down.
Just throw it on the floor.
Just pop it down for me, on the floor. Pop it on the floor. Donald, pop it on the floor.
I need many more of
them. As enough as many as we need. Put the knife on the floor now, or you'll be sprayed. Douche tubs. Put it down. Put it down. Donald, put it down.
Seriously?
Last chance.
Can you just hold that door? I can't get a good angle.
Donald, put it down. Put it down now. Come on.
Last chance.
Right. Put it down. Drop the knife. Drop the knife. Put it on the floor.
Do it now. Drop the knife.
Donald, drop the knife.
Donald.
Put it down. Put it down!
Taser, taser!
This channel that we're getting it from is called This Is Butter at Rumble.com. So East Sussex, UK. So we're over in the across the pond here. 92-year-old care home resident in a wheelchair. He ends up being sprayed in the face with, they call it synthetic pepper spray. And they even, it had a weird name to it. But that's what he gets sprayed with before they tase him. And then they hit him with a baton as well. And a jury was told this. And actually it happened in a different order. I think it was the pepper spray. It was the baton and then the taser. But Sussex Police PC Stephen Smith, he emptied almost a full can of pepper spray, is what the article says, at least anyhow, into Donald Burgess's face when he refused to drop an item. They call it a cutlery. It was a knife. And they said it was similar to a butter knife. It didn't look like a butter knife to me, but this is from the Southwark Crown Court, and they're hearing this this testimony. So this is criminal. So Mr. Burgess, who had one leg, he was then tasered by PC Rachel Komodo, and this is all being shown in the police body cam footage to jurors that that appeared. PC Smith, 51 years old, denied two counts of assault by using PAVA. That's what they call that synthetic spray, PAVA. He denied, the assault with the baton as well. And PC Kamado denied one charge of assault by discharging her taser. Now, Mr. Burgess, he's I'm not really going to call him a bad guy. You know, he's uncooperative, but there's a lot going on. And I'll explain that. Mr. Burgess was a resident of this home. They call it St. Leonard's on the Sea, or St. Leonard's on Sea, which is kind of a cool name, East Sussex. So if you ever want a retirement place to move to, guys, that is now on my list. This is a guy that I may want to roll with. When staff called police on June the 21st of 2022. So it's been a while. It's been, it's been almost 3 years. They had failed to persuade this guy to hand over the knife that he had. And it had some kind of a specially adapted handle. So Paul Jarvis KC, he's the guy that's prosecuting. He tells jurors that the officers made no attempt to talk to staff. And instead, they approached this guy in the wheelchair trying to interact with him. Now, he said that instead of trying to calm the situation down, they inflamed it, used force that was unjustified and unlawful. So those are some pretty serious accusations. Jurors were told that there was nobody within arm's reach of Mitchell Burgess at the time, and that should have been clear that he was not mobile. So the only thing I wonder is whether the officers thought maybe he was a threat to himself since nobody was around him. And, I'm going to start slowing it down because we got a commercial break coming up. But the prosecutor said it ought to have been obvious by the fact that he had one leg, that this was a man who wasn't going to be mobile or really be going around. So, look, I'm going to leave off there. We got another commercial break coming up, guys. Stick with us. I want to tell you the rest of the story. You're going to love this. And we got another one after that. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're watching the show and you have your own agency, your chief or sheriff, they got a deal for you. Founder Daniel Kelly came up with a system where you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. Having a little bit of fun on the commercial break with each other. It's all good. We left off talking about Sussex officers over in the UK using pepper spray, baton. It's a metal, expandable metal baton, and a taser on a 92-year-old amputee who's in a wheelchair. They leave off in the title, the guy's got the knife. I hate it when they kind of like slant stories. The cops show up, the guy's got a knife. The staff at this elderly home they're dealing with, they're trying to get the guy that dropped the knife. He is isolated. He's not trying to move around anywhere. There's nobody within stabbing distance other than himself. When the video starts off, you really can't hear the dialogue going on between the officers and him. So you don't have the benefit of that in the beginning. The only thing I mentioned that is that I don't know if he was making any statements that he was going to do something to himself. But every time they try to get close, he was alert enough to be, pointing the knife in a direction. I wouldn't want to got stabbed with it. Going back to the story, the guy was elderly, according to our prosecutor, vulnerable, and may not have understood what was going on. Now, rather than being met with understanding and sympathy, according to the prosecutor, he was confronted by irritation, annoyance on the part of defendants. And these are the officers, the two officers they're jamming up for this. Now, Mr. Jarvis KC told the court that Mr. Burgess was suffering from a urinary tract infection on the day of the incident. And of course, they talk about how it can make people confused, agitated, and aggressive. Now, I can tell you from experience it was a female in my family, but when you get elderly and you have urinary tract infections, it can be serious and it can disorient people. So that is true. He told the jury that Mr. Burgess was asked to hand over the knife after he used it to flick food and poke a member of the staff in the stomach with the knife. So Mr. Jarvis said that managers had spent 30 minutes trying to get him to put the knife down. And then Burgess, who suffered from multiple health conditions, including diabetes and carotid artery disease, he had been a resident of that home since 2018. So he had been there for a little while. This story is, about 3 years old? So this is about 5 years into it. The court was told that 1 minute and 23 seconds had elapsed between the time the officers got there and when this guy was tasered, and the body-worn camera footage. You see, PC Smith can be heard repeatedly telling this guy, who they point out again, he's a right leg amputee, to put down the knife. And of course, he's sitting in the wheelchair. When he doesn't move, the PC Smith sprays him with Pava, which is a synthetic, pepper spray, before using his baton. And when he used baton, I think that was like one strike to the guy's hand. He's trying to knock the knife out of the guy's hand. And then you can see him crying out in pain, the guy in the wheelchair, when PC Komodo uses her taser gun and makes contact. So PC Smith runs in, he takes a knife from this Burgess guy. Burgess is taken to the hospital. Now, the sad part about this is that this didn't kill him. He went to the hospital, he got COVID, and he died 22 days later. That's the sad part about it. Jarvis told the jury that, and this is honorable for the prosecutor. I want to make it clear, these defendants are not responsible for the death. He was an elderly man who was unwell, but the force, he said, was used unnecessary and excessive in the circumstances, and the defendants assaulted Mr. Burgess, causing actual bodily harm, and the trial was adjourned until Tuesday. So we don't have any more information on the trial, but that's what we have. It sometimes is about optics, Danny, and time. What do you think about this one?
Sure. So let's assume that he was in the room by himself. There was no exigency. This would be one of those examples where we probably had a little bit of time to stand back. Now, I have seen instances in which there was an external emergency which necessitated that the officers act immediately. But, I don't know that's the case here, and let's just assume it's not. That's one of those ones where you just kind of stand back and go, hey, man, what's going on, right? And then by using that handful of minutes, probably could have come up with a dozen solutions outside of pepper spraying someone in a nursing home. Just hang out for 2 minutes, throw a blanket on top of the guy. And trap his arm if that's possible. But, again, that's just one of those things that having the benefit of hindsight, I think probably could have done different. However, when it comes down to the moment at which, force was used, Mr. Burgess was a little spicy. You see how fast he moved that screwdriver or knife. You know, and that's why a lot of people stay away. I am inherently distrustful of edged weapons and things like that. I'm not getting anywhere near that guy for that reason. You know, there was a good chance that had that officer just tried to walk up like Officer Friendly and take that thing, he may have gotten poked. So, yeah, it's too bad all the way around.
Chief Schultz.
That might have been fortunate that they were in that part of the world where they probably didn't have firearms, because I think that might have been, you know, step number four with these guys. You know, first of all, a lot of people say, it's just a knife or some type of implement. You know, that's not that big a deal. We know that's not true. Sure. He's an old guy, so he poses no threat. That's not categorically true. He's in a wheelchair, so he's no threat. That's not categorically true. So, I can't imagine that they couldn't have just locked the door and said he'll fall asleep eventually. In a lot of these situations, you know, we want to help so much in policing. We get to a scene, we'll say, well, they called me, so I'm the solution to this problem. But sometimes we got to step back and say, is this really a police thing? Maybe not. If it was a rescue, if he was going to die, if somebody didn't intervene, I could see the urgency of that situation a little bit more. But very, very unfortunate all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, no one's going to tell you that Chip isn't dangerous, right? Chip is old and sometimes senile. But if Chip had a knife, like, I'm probably not coming anywhere near Chip.
He identifies with the old guy because they both just have one leg.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, that is true. I did take a fall. I got one good leg. Hey, Cynthia Holt on Facebook, welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Armed security officer in Texas of all places. So I gotta tell you guys a little story. And I don't know if Gary Gilkey, who is now in Texas, you know, when we started the show, I had a producer, Gary. In addition to the producer, Will, I had a radio producer, Gary Gilkey. We had worked out a deal with the Boss Hog Radio Network. So about 3 months before we're starting the show at Boss Hog, which would have been January of 2 years ago, Gilkey calls me up and says, I got good news and bad news. He goes, you're not going to like it. So he had an opportunity to go to Texas and he couldn't turn it down. And I don't fault him for that. He needed to take advantage of the opportunity, but it left me without a producer for my show. So I ended up contacting Boss Hog Radio, and they actually gave me a producer. That was producer Jimmy. And, I had producer Jimmy for over a year, you know, before I left, last year, about a year ago. I hear from Gary Gilkey. There's a bourbon company. I'm not going to name the name, but they're in Texas, and they were a potential sponsor for the show. I've been reaching out to them. I really haven't heard back from them, but I decided on the up and up to go ahead and order the bourbon to see whether there was any, if I was going to work out anything with it being a sponsorship or anything, I want to make sure I like the product, and I am a bourbon guy. So I had it arrived yesterday. And I call my neighbor over, who is also a bourbon lover. And so when we drink bourbon, it is strictly for taste. I don't drink it fast. I don't drink it, you know, I don't drink it to get a buzz or anything. It's strictly for taste. If I start getting a buzz, I'm doing something wrong. I drink for taste. I call my neighbor over. I've never done this before, but I ended up pouring it down the drain. It was that bad. Yeah. I ordered two bottles. I don't know what I'm going to do with the other bottle, if any of you guys want it, but yeah, we couldn't even drink. And I said, look, if you don't mind, I'm pouring mine down the drain. And he said, yeah, please do mine. And then I went and got some good stuff. And I felt bad for calling him over for a bad experience. And so he left very happy with a good experience. I got some really good stuff, but yeah, so that's disappointing. So, I just want Cynthia to know there's no reflection on Texas, Cynthia. That happened. So, wow. You know, I know that we don't have time to cover the video, and I'm just we've got about a minute here to talk, and so tomorrow we'll probably cover the video, you know, with the dog and the taser, and the dog saved, the cop doesn't shoot the dog, even though I think Chief Schultz was going there, even though he would have been fully justified, I think, in using lethal force, because the dog certainly was out. The dog was in distress because his owner's being tasered and grabbed by the police. So I get that. So, but that it's a feel good story. So there's nothing bad about that. So Chief Joel Schultz, he's giving away 10 books. If you guys want to get a hold of him, at schultzco@gmail.com. And that is on the screen. Danny King, AmericanPatrolman.com. Make sure you remember those addresses. And if you forget, All you have to do is email me at chiptoblock@gmail.com or watch a version of our show at Rumble, and all the addresses and stuff, they're right there on the screen. Excellent show, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for being on the show and making this happen. Dr. Joel Schultz, a.k.a. Chief Joel Schultz, and Danny King with American Patrolmen. I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. That is Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they also have a special going for $1,000. You not only get a really cool looking guitar, but you get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists. And that is at guitars4cops.com. So please consider taking advantage of that opportunity. And I want to mention our sponsors as well. And like I said earlier, guys, our sponsors love law enforcement. Please support our sponsors at Gallus.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and also Two Bells. Go to our online store at LegalRoundtable.com and get some cool gear. TempFP.com, FormerLawman.com, LawOfficer.com. Thanks for the support. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.